Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of the Woke Bros. Of course, I'm your co-host, Pig Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambray, and I'm joined by my brother, still on that west side of Los Angeles, Nando Vila. What's going on, man?
Man, missed you, dude. You were off in Europe.
A lot's happened since the last time we talked, man. A
lot's happened, dude.
A few more stamps in the passport, you know.
Yeah.
Republican debate heating up. You know, the European soccer leagues have started back up. NFL's around the corner. Man, it's crazy, but it's good to be back, bro.
Yeah, we haven't potted in a long time. People are tweeting at us like, where the hell are you guys?
Sorry about that, guys. But you know, it's the summer months, man. You know, yeah, me and Nando got to enjoy ourselves in the summer and get to things. But I'm very happy to be back. I think things are finally starting to pick up a little bit on the politics side of things. As you know, believe it or not, 2024, the calendar year is basically almost upon us. And there's a Republican field sort of gathering, probably for no reason, quite frankly. But if you look at the polls, you know, it's still fun to consider. And they had that debate the other night. Chris Christie, Mike Pence, of course, Ron DeSanctimonious, Nikki Haley. It's like a lot
losers,
of course. But I think the biggest story coming out of there is the Vivek Ramaswamy? Vivek Ramaswamy. I'm not trying to be racial, y'all. Don't cancel me. I just genuinely forgot how to pronounce the homie's name. Yeah, I feel like he's gotten all the buzz out of that debate, seeing as Donald Trump wasn't even there, didn't bother to show up. And the consensus seems to be that every single other candidate despises this guy with a passion.
Yeah. Yeah, they hate him. They see that they see, because like all those other guys, I mean, they're losers, all of them. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's like a few like weirdos and shit on there that I don't know how the hell they got up there. But like, you know, a bunch of these guys like Mike Pence. Yeah, he was the vice president. Nikki Haley, she was in the union. Ambassador to the U.S.
Wasn't she like the she did some.
You know, Ron DeSanctimonious is the governor of Florida and blah blah blah. So they're like, they think that they're like,
well, also like
real experienced people.
That's what I'm saying. Like Mike Pence was the governor of Indiana. Like he actually had to do governance, and Nikki Haley, same thing, and Ron DeSantis. Like it's like guys, it like bro, we're pretty successful politicians. We've gotten elected statewide. We'd have to, you know, sign off on bills and X, Y, and Z. And like, we're actual political movers. And you just showed up.
Yeah. And this guy, you know, like, I mean, I'm not the first person to say this, but, you know, he reminds a lot of people. He's like a right wing Mayor Pete. Like he's got like extreme Mayor Pete energy because he's like young. You know, he's 38 and he's a millennial. So he's got like all the cultural references of a millennial. So like, I just sent you a link that he goes around the campaign trail rapping Eminem's Lose Yourself. And it's like, but he like throws in like right wing shit into it. I mean, like maybe we could like splice it in. And Eminem had to like send him a cease and desist letter.
My bro, to, like, stop it.
Yeah,
please. It. For the love of God.
Of all time. But this guy's story is kind of interesting in that, so he's obviously of Indian descent. His family were part of, you know, how India has the caste system. They're Brahmins. They're the upper part of the
country. Wow. So he was born into the upper echelon of Indian society.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And so then this dude worked at a hedge fund out of college and, you know, made a decent chunk of change. And then he had this idea of,
hold on, Jerv's about to play the video. Please play that, Jerv. Thank you, sir. You wrote down the whole crowd. The words won't come out. Everybody's broken now. The clock's run out. Time's up. Oh, the blast. That point to the hour. Up the ghost gathering. Up the ghost.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Have you seen a more embarrassing thing in your whole life?
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. This makes me want to jump out of my own skin. Yeah. My God.
Yeah. So, you know, he's like a millennial. He's young. He's fresh, blah, blah, blah. He says crazy things, blah, blah, blah. So this dude, his story is kind of, like I said, he's a Brahmin from the Brahmin caste in India, the upper class. That's his family descent. And he, you know, he went to some elite school. I forgot which one. And then he worked for a hedge fund and made a lot of money, as one does when you work in a hedge fund and you go to elite school. And then he had this idea of starting a biotech company Okay. And so what he did was he incorporated this company in Bermuda.
Like Elizabeth Holmes.
It's exactly like Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay. So Harvard University, Yale Law School. That's the.
There you go.
That's the pedigree.
I think he was. Yeah. Like, you know, I think he and Ron both went to Yale Law School, Ron DeSanctimonious. But so he, this motherfucker, he has this idea of starting a biotech company, kind of like Elizabeth Holmes. And what he did was there was this drug that some big pharmaceutical company was trying to develop that was supposed to be a cure for Alzheimer's. Okay. And he bought the patent for that drug for $5 million. Now you would think like a drug like that, you know, it's
worth
would be bajillions of dollars. I mean, like cure Alzheimer's.
Like that's crazy.
The reason why it was $5 million was because it failed every single drug test. Like it just didn't work. It just didn't work. Like, I think it failed like five clinical trials or some fucking thing like that, you know? And so the pharmaceutical company basically was just like giving up on the drug, and some guys like offering them $5 million. Like, hey, fine, we'll cover some of our losses, you know, and give this fucking joker. So what he did then was he rebranded it. He changed the name. And then I think he got like his father or his mother or something who was like a doctor or something in on the clinical trial that then he ran, and it like got like some encouraging results in the clinical trial, rebranded the drug, and then took the company public. And it was one of like the most successful IPOs.
That's crazy.
In recent, and he like the value of the company just ballooned. And
so
he was like,
so it's a scam.
It's a fucking scam. It's a straight up scam. And then he pulled the money out, like he sold shares, pulled the money out, and then the company
now I get to
collapse.
And now I get to be a billionaire.
Now I get to be a billionaire, and the company's stock like fucking collapsed because when they realized that this drug was absolutely worthless, much like the Theranos thing. But like he's just a billionaire. He's literally a 38-year-old billionaire. Like he just stole money. Like he just stole the money, like straight up, you know. So this is the fucking Joker who's now, you know, kind of emerging as the only guy who's slightly different from the rest of the pack of fucking losers,
right?
To challenge Donald Trump. But like you said, they're not gonna fucking touch Trump. I mean, I could see a world in which Trump doesn't even step on a debate stage with them ever, and just
he doesn't
them.
Have to. He doesn't have to. I think they would, because the thing is. So what you learn about this guy with even just the smallest amount of digging is that it's all a bit of a shell game, right? This hedge fund that he started independently on his own, he used a lot of his money to gain access to people that actually are legitimate politicians. And, you know, he figured out a way to swindle some right-wing red states to let him handle their pension funds, right? Public sector pension funds. He's got under his management with his firm. And then another thing that he did, he put out a book called Woke Inc., where he basically is like companies like fucking BlackRock, okay? BlackRock, like me and Anna were joking about this yesterday, are too woke in their corporate mission. And, you know, just the fact that those companies would pay even the slightest amount of lip service to shit that, you know, quite frankly, woke bros have lampooned for years now. Shit like DEI and stuff like that. We basically made the rounds, right? And he's getting attention on the CNBCs and the Bloombergs and all of this stuff because he wrote this book about quote-unquote woke culture in corporate culture, and that like companies aren't concentrating on being good anymore. They just want to be diverse, like artificially, and all of this stuff. Like, is it like I see the cynicism in the sense that a no-name wants to shoehorn himself. He knows that he needs to get a name for himself. Like, without a name, and I think the reason why people like Joe Biden, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, the reason why these guys could run such effective national campaigns is that they became celebrities in the monoculture. Right. Yeah. Like, we don't make those kinds of celebrities anymore. We're just not. Our attention is just so fractured that like it's just hard for somebody to compete with the name recognition of Donald Trump, who's been famous since the 80s, dude.
Yeah. Like everyone knows who he is.
He's
everyone's known who he was
figure since the 1980s. For 40 years, he's been a famous person. Like, you can't combat that, right? And so you have to find these cheaper ways to get your name out there. And part of it is tapping into a discourse that is legitimately the hot button, quote unquote, political. Obviously, you guys, our listeners, are smart enough because you listen to this show to know that the culture war is not actual politics. Like, it's kind of a distraction. Not even kind of. It's absolutely a distraction. It is bullshit. But it does get a lot of oxygen in media. Yeah. And it will get you on CNBC. It will get you on Fox News. Bloomberg will cover your shit. Politico will cover your stuff. And if you want to get into the political realm, like, it's a freaking easy way to do it. And so a rich guy who actually, you know, who as ill-gotten as his fucking gains are, he's legitimately rich. He can get a book out fucking published. And if he's talking about something like wokeness, And he's talking it and he's speaking on it from the position of a guy coming from the C-suite, he's going to get attention, right? And so he used that to get some political connections, and now he shoehorned his way onto the Republican primary stage.
And the thing about that is that I do think actually being slightly against wokeness is like legitimately popular, that people are 100%.
Oh yeah.
But the thing is, you have to be it. You can't just like talk, like, you should never talk about it. You just have to be it. Like, that's Joe Biden. Mm. Like, Joe Biden compared to all the other people of the Democratic Party debates in the last round. Like, Joe Biden's not like a woke guy. Like, no one would ever accuse him of that. You know, like, he's like slightly behind the times, and he's like kind of like where most people are. Like, that's the best way to be. You can't be like Ron DeSanctimonious.
He's too self-consciously unwoke. Like,
weird. He's just like, and people are like, shut the fuck up, dude. Like, this is weird. Like, you're like, just be the change you want to be in the world. Like, don't talk about it. You know, like, and that's really the key. And Trump, by the way, is too. Like, Trump is nowhere near as, you know, like, when they try to, like, they all assume he is kind of like that. So they, whenever you see him in interviews, like, they'll ask him leading questions about it and stuff. And he never really takes the bait. I mean, he never really takes the bait on anything. He just kind of talks about whatever he wants. Like, did you watch any clips of his interview with Tucker?
No, I haven't. I've just seen the clips of his Truth Social sort of solo videos where he said they indicted your favorite president, me.
You have to
remind people, like,
we're gonna find some good ones here. This one, I'm gonna not. Okay, Jerv, play this one, and I'm not gonna tell Waz what it's about because you're gonna fucking love it.
Play it. Just play it. Play the clip. Right, but Trump isn't as self-consciously unwoke as these people. I think Trump he's just got better people skills and understand. Like, as crazy as this guy is, he has such a better instinct for how people actually are. And he understands that people do like dirty jokes. Like, people do like when you say something inappropriate. Like, you're going to get a reaction in most rooms. Like, he knows what to say. Like, man, that I don't know if I've ever said, go ahead, play that thing, Jerry.
So back to Biden, I'm interested. So you think he's failing? He obviously is failing. I think it's clear to everybody. But that would make Kamala Harris the candidate?
Well, not really. I mean, I guess they'd have maybe a free-for-all. A lot of people say she has to remain for certain reasons the candidate. She has to. I don't think that's true, actually. I don't think that other people would stand for it. She has some bad moments. Her moments are almost as bad as his. I think his are worse, actually.
Yeah. But she seems pretty senile, too.
She speaks in rhyme. Weird. But she has bad moments. And
in rhyme? What do you?
Well, the way she talks, the bus will go here, and then the bus will go there, because that's what buses do. It's weird. The whole thing is weird. This is not a president of the United States future. And I think they'll probably have some kind of a primary, and other people will get involved.
Oh, man.
Newsom, right?
Could be. I mean, you know,
so good.
You know, he's got the along well with him, here. Believe it or not. The bus will go there. Could be him, could be somebody else. He's got a big load on his shoulders, because you look at California, what's happened. But I don't know if the American people really, the people that vote for him, I don't even know if they care. You know, you look at so many of the things that are going on, and People don't seem to be, in the old days, if you had a bad record, it meant a lot. Today, if you have a bad record, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, he looks good. He's a nice looking guy, speaks well. But Biden, every time you watch him talking, it's like he's walking on eggs. You're waiting for him to collapse. And he almost always does. And I got to know the leaders of all of the countries, essentially, but the big ones.
The big ones.
The bigger, the tougher the leader.
The big ones.
No, she speaks in rhyme.
What the fuck are you talking about? He's like, it's weird. Like, he's basically like, you've never heard her speak. Like, it's weird.
The bus will go here. The bus will go there,
and then the bus will go everywhere. Like, she has a weird cadence, Tucker. She's strange. She's got problems. I'm not scared of that freak. It's crazy.
Can you imagine a race between Trump and Kamala? Like, can you just imagine?
It would be insufferable. Oh my God.
Can you imagine that? Like, can you imagine the libs? Can you imagine
the strong Trump? Black woman? She's a strong. Oh my God. It would go nuts. It would be nasty, man. It would be nasty because that's, you know, because in the liberal spaces, definitely black women have been sainted as like a class of
magical people. Creatures.
Yeah. Yeah, like a class of magical creatures. Like you, it's black girl magic. It's this, it's that. Like they'd be doing her a disservice, by the way. They wouldn't deal with her on the terms of her merits. Like they just wouldn't. They just go full lib and start speaking in bromides, man. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. But, like, I think a lot of that stuff is fading because I've seen even the, like, trust me, man, I follow a lot of professional class black women. Like, I'm, you know, in my social network, if you will, it's a lot of them.
Your cohort.
Yes, that's my cohort. Oh, my God. The Yas Queen, after she became vice president, it was crazy. But even some of them have noticed, like, she's a bit of a drunk auntie. She's got drunk auntie vibes. She's the auntie whose wine glass is always full. Like, she's even they've sort of picked up on the fact that there's no there with Kamala Harris. But yeah, man, like this field, like as big of a joke as Vivek is, he's making a dent, man. Like you would think somebody like Mike Pence, who was vice president for 4 years, would have a leg up on these jokers, but he doesn't because he's Mike fucking Pence. Yeah. He is like, you know how people call people, like some people will call like white people white bread, like, oh, dude is like white bread. They're talking about Mike Pence.
Yeah,
100%. He is like the straight down the line white man.
I think, you know, Pence, the problem with all these jokers is that it's impossible to differentiate them. Like, what's different about them, right? Like, how is any one of them going to like emerge from the pack?
Exactly.
To, you know, challenge Trump. They're all just going to be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, no one's going to, they're all just like fucking noise, right? I do think that if I had to pick one to do it, it might be Pence. A, because of the name recognition, like he was the vice president. People know who he is. I think Ron DeSanctimonious just doesn't got it, dude. He just does not got it. He does not want to be there. He's so fucking weird. He's such a fucking dork.
He just doesn't have it. And people need to understand that before he became the governor of Florida, he was just an anonymous Congress critter. Nobody, and I mean nobody, came across Ron DeSantis and was like, wow, that guy is destined for great things nationally. Like, he's got what it takes. Like, no, like you think about a Gavin Newsom, who people have been like, you know, slurping for years, like he's the next Democratic Party savior. And you kind of, it's obvious why. Like, I can see 9 out of 10 libtards being like, yeah, Gavin Newsom is my guy. I'm riding with him. Like, he's like Beto with like a resume, you know what I'm saying? But like actual personality, you know what I mean? It's like, kind of young for a politician, decently good looking, you know, got the California affect. Like, it's obvious why they would say that guy is the future of something that's going to be happening in Democratic Party politics. That ain't never been Ron DeSantis. Florida is a very important and pivotal state, and a lot of crazy shit happens in Florida, so it gets a lot of attention. And so, you know,
he won huge.
He did. Right. He won huge, but that first race, if people don't remember this, he barely beat the Guillaume dude.
Yeah. The Gillum, yeah, the guy who, do you remember what happened
to him? Didn't he get caught with crack and hookers or something like
male
that?
Male hookers.
Yeah.
Doing crystal meth and crack in a hotel room in Miami Beach with male hookers, right. And he was naked. Lord some pictures. Mercy. Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Andrew Gillum. But he almost beat it. It was, I remember my sister worked on that campaign, or not worked, but she like volunteered to canvas and shit. Mm-hmm. And man, it was like razor thin. I mean, it was razor thin.
Yeah. And so, like, we were that close to Ron DeSantis, never ever hearing from Ron DeSantis ever again. He was not some rising star. Like, even when they've had them in the past that didn't pan out, people like Marco Rubio come to mind, right? Like, you kind of got it. It was like the country's turning browner, and he's this younger guy, and he's a Florida senator. And like, you kind of understood you, because there was this idea after they got their asses kicked, you know, two times in a row by Obama, that they needed to sort of moderate this message, right? That they had to have this mea culpa, and they had to sort of moderate the party. And there was a sort of understanding guiding principle to why Marco Rubio might be the next one, you know, why Paul Ryan, that was a little bit too much. The Paul Ryan, that was just a purely like political, you know, centrist concoction bullshit, because Paul Ryan never had it. Yeah. But he was part of that shit of like, oh, he's going to be the next Republican goat, the next Republican savior. Son, Ron DeSantis never was that. These tech bros sort of latched onto him. So he started getting a lot of money quickly. In, you know, Ron DeSantis related PACs. And so the money was behind him quite quickly. And again, the visibility of Florida, and, you know, of course he was governing by troll. And so he's on Fox News all the time. And of course, Fox News is like, yo, we're tired of dealing with Trump. Let's get a new guy in there. So he got like people behind him, but there was never anything that made sense about why he should be the next standard bearer for the party. And now that he's in the great game, Nando, he is whoo.
He's not. He's not fit for the big. He's not a. You know. He's not fit for the show. You know.
Fredo like, Colley. He's a minor. Boy.
He's a minor league ball player. He's not ready for the show.
Yeah.
I mean, not at all. I was talking about it with someone like the other day, where it's like the way you have to analyze politics these days. People like overthink a lot of what I would call more cosmetic issues, like how someone looks or how someone talks or what their identity represents, like. No, does not matter anymore. Like it just does not matter in either party, you know. And what really you have to look at is, like, I mean the way like the kids say it is like how based the person is, you know, versus like how cucked the person is, you know. But like, I mean, like I guess like the non it would be like how true to themselves one person is, understanding that they're politicians, like. Trump lies, but he's true to himself.
Yeah.
Biden is true to himself. Biden is who he is.
Yeah.
That's just it, you know? And like these people who are clearly like trying to be something they're not.
Kamala Harris. Which is
99% of politicians.
Yeah.
It's like what they're trained to do, because they have like consultants in their ear all the time. Like, yeah, talk about this, talk about that. Like the good ones are the ones who can like take that information and then transmogrify it through their own sense of self. And project that into the world as an authentic reflection of their core self. That's something that Trump does really well. Something Obama did really well.
Yeah.
Something that the ones who win do that well. And you can just kind of see it when someone can do it and when someone can't. Trump, that's why he's so formidable, is like, man, no one believe when people, like regular people look at him talk, no one thinks that he's just not just saying whatever the fuck he feels like.
Yeah, that's what people are attracted to. And again, like I don't think this guy should be governing the fucking
country.
the most important, the most powerful country in the fucking world. The nuclear arms, like, which again, that's another thing that's a bit overstated. Like Trump couldn't just push a button and start bombing. Like it doesn't work like that. there's actually checks and balances on this shit. But like as much as I think he would make for a horrible president for another 4 years, and like all of this shit doesn't need to be said. It's not hard to understand the guy's appeal. It's really not. And especially when you contrast them to the competition. That's it. It's that simple. And I think even somebody like AOC, She's going to be attractive to her cohort. Educated people, professional class people with liberal leanings. She's going to be very attractive to them, but nobody else. She's not going to be attracted to Joe Sixpack. No, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. She's NGO'd to death. You know what I mean? Like, like that shit ain't going to work nationally, man. Like,
she lost a little bit of her sauce.
She did. She did have
at first, like that's why she was a phenomenon.
Like she felt like a normal person at first.
Yeah, like and that's why she was a phenomenon. Or Sarah Palin, like you know, right. Like again, it's not. It need not be male versus female coded. Right. Like Sarah Palin was a phenomenon. Like as soon as someone steps on the stage that feels like a real person that can just speak what they feel like and it feels authentic, like they immediately catch wildfire. Bernie Sanders, caught everyone by surprise. Because he just got out there and he was like, this is what I fucking believe. I don't care what you guys think. You know what I mean? No. Like, and that's just like, that is the metric you have to base these people on.
And it's funny because I think what ruined Ocasio-Cortez is that somebody got in the air and told she could be president one day. And she changed. Like the whole thing started feeling differently, man. Like, so she obviously was a shooting star. She got that reelection and was like, it's not a fluke. And people got in their ear. Them powerful people in the party was like, yo, you could be a big dog one day, but you need to start doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
And so now she's trying to balance that thing that she started with being a good party player, whatever that means to these folks. And yeah, man, but I am going to enjoy watching this Republican stuff.
It's fun to see the losers eat shit, you know. I love it.
Yeah,
I hope to God Trump debates them. It's like, I hope to God, can you imagine?
Ron DeSantis is going to.
Oh my God, he's shaking in his fucking boots, man. Can you imagine? The classic DeSantis moment was like when the moderators asked, like, if you become president, will you pardon, like, raise your hand if you'll pardon Donald Trump, you know, and like people like hesitated. And DeSantis like looks around to see what everyone is.
What a little Weasley prick that dude is. That's so funny. Well, anyway, that was the also. I mean, I feel like we'd be remiss if we don't talk about the indictments and blah 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 blah. Like on a lot of these things, I think on the merits of the law, I do think they got them dead to rights. Like they sent this fucking lawyer to jail in New York behind this shit. Like the idea that. Yeah. He like the person that the lawyer was doing it on behalf isn't guilty. Like they got him. They definitely, I don't know if they have Trump directly, but they do have him dead to rights in Georgia as far as the team goes. Like these guys they're going to get canned. They're going to get killed. I just will not believe this guy's going to prison until I see it. Like that just seems impossible to me.
One of the craziest things about this to me was, and I was talking about with Bessner about this, why did he turn himself in?
Why did he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Make them arrest you. Like, what are they going to do? Like, arrest him?
I don't you know. Like, and it's not, like, who's going to extradite Trump to?
That's what I mean. Like, you know, like, if he stays in Florida.
Who's the entity that's going to do it?
Yeah, if he's in Florida, like, is Ron DeSantis going to order the state troopers or whatever?
Especially on a state charge. Like, the feds, you can say the feds have jurisdiction everywhere. Like, Georgia has jurisdiction in Georgia. Like, who's going to get you? You going to get the Florida State Police to come get me?
That's what I mean. And then, like, and then just end Ron DeSantis, you know?
I mean, that is an excellent question. Because I do feel like the only problem with what Trump is doing for the elites is everybody knows elites don't have to go to prison for crimes. But it's because their crimes are so much quieter. I just think like he's just been too brazen in flouting these laws. And somebody's clearly gotten to him where it's just like, bro, like we had a tipping point. Like if you just keep doing this, it's like the game is up for everybody. That's what it feels like to me, because part of what Trump has taught me personally is that like none of this shit matters. Like none of it. The sort of rules that are keeping society intact feel like they're just being held on by a thread. And to the extent that they are, it's definitely not because it's being applied equally across the class spectrum. And to be honest, the only time you ever really have to go to prison as an elite is when you commit crimes against other elites. You can do whatever you want to the rest of us. Like, you can be Purdue Pharma, for instance, and clearly have done some shit that is just reckless, illegal, fucked up, should be criminal, what you guys have done. But you did it to normal everyday Joes. Like, you don't go to jail for that. Like, you only get in trouble. Like, shit like January 6th is like, okay, like, all right, now you fucking with the apparatus of, you know, the Democratic Party, like an elite institution. I think they'll get at him for that. But, like, I just don't think you can put a guy, an elite, in prison. Yeah. I just don't. It just doesn't feel like that's a thing that can happen, man. So I don't know. I think somebody talked to him and was like, yo, bro, like, you're just doing it wrong. Like, yeah. Show up. We'll figure out a way where you don't actually go to prison. Maybe you plead out. Maybe you
do. How do you put the president, like, literally logistically, how do you, like,
put a doesn't he, like, still have Secret Service?
Yeah, like, do you put the Secret Service in there? Yeah,
that's what I'm trying to say. Like, bro, like,
I think presidents get Secret Service for life.
That's what I'm saying. And especially somebody who's still as extreme Republic as this guy is, like, he needs Secret Service. I'm just saying, like, we're not going to put a
president. I love the idea. I love the idea of, like, some prison gang, but they're, like, libs. You know, they're like, they're like the Mueller, like the Mueller heads, you know what I mean? Or something.
If Trump got, like, locked up, is he like, yeah. Oh my, yeah. God, did he trying to get Trump for the Muslim ban? Oh
yeah. Yeah.
God, that would be crazy. But yeah, I just, I don't know, man. I just have a hard time believing that you could put a former president in prison. Yeah. Especially for something like that. I get it. Like, the classified document shit, clearly illegal. You're not putting him in prison for that, bro. He's the former president. Like, they're not going to put him in prison for that. Paying off the prostitutes in New York. You're not putting him in prison for that. Now, yeah. The shit in GA, like, again, I think his boys are going to go to jail. I think, yeah, a lot of them are going to go to jail. A lot of them are already snitching. So that means people are going to get locked up behind that. I can't believe that he's going to go to prison for that.
The other thing I don't know if it's even possible is because Trump will flip on all of them. You know, he'll fucking.
Come on, bro. Come on.
But, like, all of them are just fucking, like, you know.
Bro, Trump is so crazy that, like, the fact that he's not paying their lawyer fees, which, like, every crime boss understands the least you can do, yeah, for the soldiers on the front line is pay their lawyers, you, yeah, know, because they're the ones doing the hand-to-hands. They're the ones doing the collections. Yeah. They're the ones actually breaking, yeah, the legs. Like, yeah, everybody, the crime boss knows that, like, that's yeah, like, the ethical,
like, Levy in The Wire, you know, like, you got, yeah, paid, right? You gotta, the last pay guy on the last, yeah, guy to go down on the payroll.
Come, yeah, on, like, even the corner boys get Levy, right?
Yeah.
But Trump was like, nah, they're on their own. I don't give a fuck about these guys. It's kind of crazy.
So he's gonna flip on all of them, and, like, I don't even know if, like, the state can offer, because I was talking, someone was like saying they're gonna offer him a deal in which, like, he won't go to jail if he doesn't run for president. And I'm like, can you even offer that deal? As a judge or whatever, or a prosecutor, I don't know. Like,
I mean, people, this is the thing too. People think that, especially the New York one, is politically motivated. Just the idea that, like, if Donald Trump, yeah, would have just went into retirement, if he would have just went into retirement and been like, "I'm not pursuing public office anymore," that people would have just moved on with their lives. Like, they wouldn't be prosecuting this guy to the hilt, right? It's because he's still trying to run for president. And there's the shit where people are like, oh, in a lot of red states, you can't run for office if you've committed a felony and you haven't done your time yet. Like, you're still sort of, you still owe the people some restitution for the crimes you've committed. And I'm like, guys, if it's red states that it's in, they'll just change the laws the next day.
I think you can still run for national office. I mean, Eugene Debs famously ran for president from prison, like,
yeah,
inside the prison.
So,
and he got like 19 million votes or something crazy.
And so, yeah, I don't think there's any stopping this guy from running. He's gonna run. The Dems are just gonna have to beat him again. Yeah. That's it. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep, free shipping, vacuum-sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high-quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
But, okay, before we get out of here, I do want to talk about this Spanish Soccer Federation. Congrats to the women of the Spanish World Cup team. They killed it. They won the World Cup, the Women's World Cup. The world has finally caught up to the U.S. to the point where they bust their asses this tournament. But there's been, you know, a lot of controversy surrounding the Spanish Federation. The one guy kissed the chick in the mouth after the win. Like, it's been all, like, there's been sexual harassment claims, sexual assault claims, like, all kinds of fucked up shit around the Federation. And they've been like, look, we're so good at our jobs, these chicks won the World Cup. Like, how can you say that we don't deserve to be here when we manage this thing to a championship ultimately? As I was watching this thing, Nando, I'm reminded of like a convo we had up here where you were just like, yo, like these guys are so in their Spanish bubble of just Spanish culture. It's like, what are you talking? This is not fucked up behavior. Like, this is fine. Like, what are you guys talking about?
There's a little bit of that going on.
So I'm interested to hear your take on what's happening with that whole controversy.
Well, first of all, I mean, it's one of the funniest stories to ever happen. I mean, because I don't know if you've seen the latest, but the dude's mother is on a hunger strike, locked herself in a church in her town, and she's on a hunger strike right now. She's like on day four of the hunger strike. To protest the treatment of her son.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
Oh my god, dude, bro, to protest the fucking treatment of her son. She's locked herself in a church.
Are we sure this woman isn't town? Haitian? Oh my god, that's a Haitian mother move. That's the move of a Haitian mother. Wow.
Fuck you, people. My son is innocent. My son is a good boy. He would never hurt anyone. That's
so funny, dude.
So the story is wild. I mean, the fact that I did a podcast documentary thing on what happened with the Spanish women in the 2015 World Cup. I mean, the Spanish women's soccer team has been kind of besieged by controversy for many, many years. Most of it stemming from the fact that the federation is run by like just a bunch of dudes who like, you know, just like are just not.
They suck.
They suck.
They're not modern people. They're not.
So since 2015, there's been two mutinies, like where the players, like the players in 2015 after the World Cup signed a letter signed by all of them saying we will not play again until this coach is fired, you know, like which never happens. And then like this happened again a year before this World Cup, like 12 or 15 players, I forgot how many, were like, we refuse to play until you fire the coach. The federation stuck by the coach. Most of those players didn't play in the World Cup. They still won because, like, I mean, honestly, I watched a few of the games and stuff. I mean, I didn't watch like all of the Women's World Cup. I mean, Spain looked miles ahead of any other team. Like, they just looked
they were dominant.
They were playing in a different sport. You know what I mean? It was kind of like when the Spanish men won the World Cup in those days. Like, they looked so far superior, technical ability. You know, just completely dominating the play all the time. Just, you know, they always had five or six of the best players on the field. Like, it was just utterly dominant, and they won. And then the dude, the president of Spanish, decides to kiss one of the best players on the mouth. Like, he just slaps a fucking kiss on the mouth.
Can I ask you something? Is that something that, like, people who, acquaintances do in Spain? That's not a thing, right?
No. No, okay. Absolutely not.
Okay, okay, no. Okay.
No.
Okay.
No.
You would just never greet somebody that way.
No, not in the mouth. Like, Spaniards are hugging, and Spaniards do. They greet someone, kiss, cheek, you know?
Cheek, yeah.
This was like a both hands on the head.
This was
Al Pacino in Godfather 2. You know, like right. When he kissed Fredo on the mouth. To
Fredo.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's just not a thing. Everyone's like, huh? You know, and it's the kind of thing, like, I'm sure in Spain, like, I'm sure in America, like, he would have been mega fired already.
He would have been castrated, like, in America.
You would have been mega fired, you know? In Spain, I'm sure that had he actually been like, listen, man, I just got carried away, and, like, I'm just super sorry.
Yeah.
And like, beg forgiveness from the player, and maybe the player would have, like, helped him out because, like, I don't know, like, maybe she would have been. But the fact that he was, like, doubled down, he was like, no, it was consensual.
Oh my God! Jesus Christ!
He said that he had a conversation with her in the moment that he was like, because she missed the penalty in the final, and so he's like, hey, don't worry about the penalty, we won, and we couldn't have done it without you. Can I give you a kiss? And he says that she said, sure, and then he just fucking slaps the kiss on her. You know,
can I give you a kiss, brother? We know you didn't say that. Yeah. We know that didn't happen. We know you didn't say, can I give you? You did not ask no permission. Yeah. Come on now.
And so, dude, it's become this crazy thing where, like, now people are like, that bitch is lying. You know, she consented. Oh, and it's like, in what unit? Like, they're not in the same age range.
It's like
in what universe, like, is this in any way, like, she, like, it was in the moment, like, right when they're fucking getting the trophies and the fucking medal. Like, maybe he said something and she was like, uh-huh, yeah, what? You know what I mean? But there's no way she wanted the fucking president of the Fans Federation to fucking plant a kiss on the mouth.
So this guy's the president of the Men and Women's Federation?
Yeah, so all of soccer is governed by the same. This is true in Spain and in England.
So he's a really powerful guy, essentially.
Yeah. He was a player. He was a professional player. I remember him when he was a player. He was like a random kind of left back. And what he did was, when he retired, he became the head of the players union. So he was the president of the Spanish men's soccer players union. And then from there, he jumped to be the head of all Spanish soccer, which is a kind of this quasi public position that's part of UEFA, which is part of FIFA. Like, it's like, imagine like FIFA is broken apart into like big regional groups, like UEFA is Europe, CONCACAF, South America, CONCACAF is North America, whatever. And then within those, each country has its own kind of governing body, and they're the ones that represent their country in FIFA and whatever.
Yep.
So he's that. And so he oversees all of soccer in Spain. Like, you know, like he's the head honcho. Like, he runs the referees.
So,
he runs
the, so even the Spanish professional leagues, he's the head honcho.
Yeah. In a way, yeah. It's kind of the leagues are kind of a weird thing in which they have like also a separate entity called the league that has its own president, but he kind of ultimately oversees it.
Is over the guy.
Yeah. And crucially, he oversees the refereeing, because like they're governing the sport. You know,
gotcha.
So yeah, he's a powerful dude.
This is one of those moments where all that discourse that we get here in America about power dynamics and yada yada yada, like, this is where it absolutely fucking applies.
Yeah,
like this guy is the head of all of football in Spain. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah. So he does the fucking kiss. All of a sudden, like, you know, Spain can't even enjoy the World Cup because, like, all of a sudden, everyone's talking about this. Like, they're not talking about how amazing they were. Like, the Spanish midfielder, Atenea, just won Player of the Year, UEFA Player of the Year, best player in the world now. And, like, another Spaniard who didn't even play a lot in the World Cup because she was kind of coming back from injury had won the previous two. She's like, so Spain is like, they're just fucking dominating. And so like they can't enjoy it. Like, if no one's celebrating it anymore because it's all focused on this thing. And so throughout the week, he then releases a statement that he claims is a joint statement between the Federation and the player, saying all good. The player then comes out and says, like, I didn't fucking read the statement. I didn't approve of the statement. This is not me. And so then there's like calls for him to resign. So then he starts leaking to the press. And he starts telling people that he's going to resign on Friday. Like, this is like on a Thursday, you know? So like all the news outlets all over the world are like, they all got the same leak. Dude gets up there on Friday at like the general meeting of the Federation. Mm-hmm. Like, and he literally pulls a Leo in Wolf of Wall Street. You know, he's
like, I'm not fucking leaving.
And he goes, he literally did, and he kept on repeating it. Cause like he literally started repeating it. He was like, so in Spain, to resign means dimitir. And he's like, You guys want me to dimitir? He's like, he goes like that. You guys want me to dimitir? He's like, no voy a dimitir. Like, I'm not gonna resign. And he says it over and over, like, no voy a dimitir. No voy a dimitir. No voy a dimitir. I was watching, I was like, what? And then, he starts getting excited because like the crowd there is like a pro him crowd and they're kind of carrying him on.
So it's literally Wolf of Wall Street. It's literally
Wolf of Wall Street. It's literally Wolf of Wall Street. And so the Spanish women's soccer coach, who is a guy, is sitting there like in the front row, and the dude addresses him directly and he goes like, and this is the guy who's like players mutinied on him and shit. And there's like a lot of controversy and it's like,
the coach, you know, has been in hot water too. Yeah.
And so he looks at him and he goes like, you know, like, you did such an amazing job. You know, like, how much money do you make right now? How much money do you make? You make like 170, 180,000 euros a year. He's like, well, right now I'm going to tell you that I am starting the process. I'm opening a negotiation with you right now to extend your contract four more years at 500,000 euros a year. Oh, you know?
This is crazy. He did this in a public setting?
Yeah. Like in a big meeting of the whole Federation on live TV, like a live broadcasting. And so so then there's like a lot of pressure.
This would not fly.
No. No one would even try. So then there's like a lot of pressure for him to resign. Like FIFA is like now putting pressure, UEFA's putting pressure, whatever. And And so like he's like being suspended by UEFA, like the whole country, like the president of Spain weighs in, the prime minister of Spain weighs in, you know, it's like, yeah, he's got to go. Like a bunch of politicians and ministers are like, yo, this dude's got to fucking go. And then it comes out that this dude's mother, who's like an old, he's from a really small town in the south of Spain, like, you know, deep fucking Spain, you know, like this is some fucking deep shit. This isn't like, he's not like a from the big city. He's from a small town.
Not very cosmopolitan situation.
No. And this like old lady just fucking walks over from her little house over to the church and announces that she's going on a fucking hunger strike.
But what demands does she have in order to break the hunger strike?
For the player to come out and say that she was lying and that this was consensual, that the persecution of her son needs to stop, and that they need to keep him in the position of the president of the Spanish Federation.
That lady might end up dying, Nando. I don't think the player's going to come out and switch it up.
And then in his town, you know, like it's like a little small town, all the residents came out to support her outside the church with like signs, like, you know, like the player's name is Jenny Hermoso, which literally means like Jenny Beautiful. It's like Jenny Hermoso, you know, like, bitch is lying, like, stop lying.
This is nuts, man.
Dude, oh my gosh. I mean, it's still ongoing. Like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's like, it's one of the funniest stories that has happened in a long time. I mean, I feel bad for her, honestly, because like, now, like, she just won the World Cup, the greatest moment of her life, and all of a sudden, it's like the worst moment of her life. Man. Because, like, obviously, like, the Spanish right is like, you know, fucking winning, you know, like,
Of course. Oh man. All right. Well, shit, man. We will keep you guys posted on that story, as it's obviously one of the more fascinating ones in the culture today. We'll see you guys next week, man. We're going to roll these things out more regularly, obviously, getting back ramped up, back into the swing of things. Shouts to my man, John Gervais, on the ones and twos. Nando Vila back and better than ever. Yeah, man. We'll see you guys next week. Peace out, guys.
Later.